Check out our website at www.thefantasyamateurs.com.
On this edition of the Nasty Cast, we welcome Jessica Kleinschmidt from FanRag, MSN, and Fangraphs. She helps us dissect the second base position as we roll through ADP wars, targets, avoids, and deep league sleepers. Fantasy jousting.
Joe left me mid sashimi.
I got live breaking news.
There's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. With hashtag Shark Week.
Do you actually balance your checkbook?
But he hasn't had a chance to suck yet.
I want somebody with some chest hair I can grip onto.
What are his weapons?
Shut up and talk.
Those boards don't work on water.
I'm the destroyer of burritos.
Be sure to cut all that out, Jesse.
That's all we talk about on this podcast is interesting things.
This isn't a joke.
Eating ain't cheating.
Welcome in to episode 105 of the NastyCast Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by Dots Pretzels. I'm Nathan Dawkin. You can find me on Twitter at Nathan Dawkin, and I'm joined today, first of all, by a man whose favorite Easter candy is the giblets of a bunny, Joe Osachi.
Odd that you're going with an Easter candy joke on the Valentine's Day Eve, but yeah, sure, that works.
That seemed funnier than a Valentine's Day joke. I wasn't quite sure what to do.
You really need to rewrite your jokes to be more topical.
It's hard enough for me to not steal a joke, you know, to actually write something of my own. You should just give this to me.
Okay. All right. You're right. And you can reuse it again at Easter.
Exactly. Then I can steal my own joke. It works out flawlessly. But more importantly than you, Joe, we have with us today Jessica Kleinschmidt. She writes for FanRag, MSN, and Fangraphs. Thank you so much for taking some time of your insane schedule to drop by the NastyCast and spread some knowledge.
How can I turn down anything that has the word nasty in it? Let's be honest.
we're off to a great start.
I'm so there. Well, it's my favorite thing when I introduce myself. People are like, what do you do for a living? And I say, like, I'm a fantasy, like, analyst. And they're like, what? I'm like, oh wait, sports, fantasy sports. I'm so sorry about that. Yes, let's continue this awkward conversation. So yeah. I'm always down for weirdness. So it's great.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, it's probably good to throw the sports in there. Like with our website, Fantasy Amateurs, there's two very hot button words there for internet searches. So if you search for us, you can find some
one
interesting results.
One has way more clicks on it than the other, and we
exactly.
won't go.
Yeah, I think that's the only reason our website gets any traffic, but mistaken.
Accidental traffic, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, the people are always very disappointed when they find out what we actually are about.
Yeah, sports, gross.
Yeah. So we're gonna I'm gonna throw a hardball question at you right away before we get going with the baseball stuff, Jessica. We do some fun stuff called Deathmatch Madness tournaments, where we basically it's a March Madness style bracket, you know, like the college basketball does, and we pit different people / characters / whatever against each other in a battle to the death. And right now we are amidst oh, God, what the hell are we calling it even?
TV character.
TV character madness. Okay. Yeah, so one of the contestants is your likeness, Topanga.
And, oh, she's going to win the whole damn thing. What's the next question?
That has yet to be determined. We haven't got to her initial matchup yet. But I was wondering if you had some insight for us. She's got a tough opening round matchup against Statler and Waldorf. And they're a club favorite, in-house favorite, I should say. So, I mean, basically these characters sort of develop superpowers. So I was wondering what you think would be sort of Topanga's superpower if you were to try to defeat Statler and Waldorf.
Oh, yeah, it's easy. She's literally every 90s boy, like, childhood crush. So all she has to simply be herself and remind everyone that she could have had Sean anytime she wanted, but she went for Corey. That takes a lot of balls. That takes a lot. That takes a lot, you know. Yeah. And we all knew there was sexual tension between Mr. Feeney and her. Like, we knew that was there. So all she has to do is remind you, like, you know who you were in love with back in the 90s, and it was me. And no boy can turn that down. Am I right?
The sad thing is she's got such a bad draw going up against two old Muppets in Statler and Waldorf. But I think any other guy she would have been able to topple pretty easily.
Well, I mean, I think they're just miserable always. So it's just nothing you could do. You could literally have like a pizza in front of them, and there's going to be something wrong with it. Doesn't matter what it is.
I mean, she might turn them into sort of Sean and Corey, and they might start fighting each other.
Oh,
I mean, I would
her.
Never, I would never promote violence, but that's definitely a match I would love to watch. John would win, obviously, and that would just create a lot more storylines for Topanga, because Corey would be gone. But you know,
we could have just done a Boy Meets World death match, to be honest with you. But I mean, there's probably. So many great. We did limit it to one character per TV show, and Topanga made the cut from Boy Meets World. So
was this planned? Like the whole setup? Am I being set up? Where's Ash?
Not really.
This seems
no.
too real right now. I can't handle it.
Let's see. Okay, what is your favorite setup? Tweet us at Fantasy Amateurs or email us thefantasyamateurs@gmail.com. You can also go to thefantasyamateurs.com and buy yourself a t-shirt, and hey, we'll even ship you some free pretzels with that, because Dots Pretzels has given us a whole buttload of pretzels and we need to get rid of them. I can't eat them all.
We really do. Why? I think probably from now on we should start also sending a bag to our guests. I mean,
I was going to say, I love pretzels.
Oh, you'll love these. These are probably the greatest pretzels in the history of pretzels.
Wow. That's
after the show, we'll have to get your address and we'll ship you out a bag.
That's a bold statement. That's pretty bold. But
these pretzels will back it up, I promise.
Okay. Are these like snack pretzels or like pretzels that you get like at a snack bar or like just regular bar food pretzels?
They're seasoned pretzels made right here in North Dakota in the small town of Velva. And for some reason, we decided to give them a call and ask us if they wanted to sponsor the show and give us a bunch of pretzels. And well, you know that, and they did. But yeah, I mean, I've been eating them for forever. I mean, they're just really, really addictive. Once you once you start, you can't stop. Type thing.
Once you pop, you can't stop. Got it.
Exactly. They're
That's
Pringles
why I'm with
pretzels.
Every food. I am not even like specific. It's like if it has calories, I'm addicted to it. Oh, it has carbs. Let's do this. Okay, great.
Why are carbs so irresistible? It's a struggle.
I know. It's like Topanga.
Oh, man, that's a tough choice.
Topanga is the carbs of 90s crushes. We're going to go with that.
That's perfect. We're not going to top that. Let's see. Also, another call for the podcast league. If you haven't emailed us to get into that yet, do it now if you want to play with us. And also at the end of the season, the winner not only gets a free Nasty Cast t-shirt and some pretzels, you also get an interview live on the show with us. It's a huge prize. This is the best.
Wow.
Yeah, very
fun. And actually, believe it or not, the last 2 years running, the winners of the podcast league have been first me and then Nate. So it's pretty hard to beat us.
Yeah,
we did interview the dude that took second last year, so.
Very true. Okay, all that housekeeping is out of the way. Let's get into some news.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball.
We have Brandon Phillips, of course, and let me just shake my head, not that anybody can see it right now, but I'll say a few hours before the podcast was released, which we recorded obviously a few days in advance, when I was talking, I was crapping on your Jose Peraza sleeper call, Joe. Because he didn't have anywhere to play. So then, of course, mere hours before that podcast came out, Brandon Phillips was traded to Atlanta, freeing up Jose Peraza. But anyway,
it was really great timing in my book.
Yeah, it made me super happy, if you can tell by my voice. He was traded to Atlanta for left-handed pitcher Andrew McCurahan and right-handed pitcher Carlos Portuondo, whoever that is. I guess the fallout here, Jessica, do you think that this changes Brandon Phillips' value at all?
I mean, the only thing that I could really think of, because it is BP, his number is kind of similar from 2015, 2016. So I don't know if people would want that towards like a safer option. my fallback plan is always like the ballpark factor. And obviously he's going to a ballpark that's being created as we speak. So it's kind of something to think of in that aspect. But he did improve his slugging. I think he's just going to be on a team that's going to be a little bit more solid as far as the hitting goes. I mean, obviously Freddie Freeman and Matt Kemp had a solid second half and kind of like annoyed a lot of people. They weren't even in the running to do anything, but they're like, you know what? We're going to piss people off and start winning games and make it difficult for people. And then all of a sudden, like the 3, 4, 5 slots were just like hitting the crap out of the ball. And the end, Darren Ciarte was like, yeah, you traded me, you dumbasses, like way to go. And so that was kind of that factor. The only thing that I could really think of, I think it'd bring up his, I guess, appeal a little bit, but it is Brandon Phillips, right? I mean, he was playing for a team last season where they were kind of also like the Braves. They were that scrappy team that were going to make it difficult for people to make it to the playoffs towards the end of the season. But beyond that, it's really hard for me to say. You know, I can't really measure on that stadium. I do know some of the new ballpark factors for SunTrust is like a little less curved of an outfield compared to how Turner Field was. And I know they were talking about how Freddie Freeman was super duper excited because in that the left side of the ball, the left side of the field, they were going to be really excited towards. So I guess for me, it's Morgan. We're going to see how he plays in that new field. But beyond that, I think he's going to kind of stay relatively the same because, like I mentioned, 2015, 2016, relatively similar numbers, like as far as his lines go. And then he did improve his slugging, but nothing too crazy.
Yeah, I think it'll be hard to be interested in him in anything deeper than 15, 20 team leagues, or obviously all leagues, but what about, so obviously this news kind of came out today that they're going to be, well, the Reds are going to be looking towards Jose Peraza to fill Phillips' shoes. So obviously this is a bit of a hot topic between Joseph and myself. So are you excited, Jessica, about Jose Peraza now this year?
I guess I'm kind of curious what you guys think, because it's going to be, to me, when it comes to a guy who was kind of bounced back and forth, that kind of leaves, I don't want to say a sour taste in my mouth because like it depends. But when he was bumped up in August, he just dominated. He was stealing bags, hitting the crap out of the ball. But for somebody who was yo-yoing back and forth, I don't know if that necessarily means that he's going to be great. Obviously, since he did bounce back and forth, we're going to assume, you know, maybe he's not quite ready. But also, you're going to get a lot of bang for your buck if he does do well. So he's just kind of one of my weird scenarios. And when you watch these rookies and watch these young guys, it's really difficult for me to say, you know, great. And he's on the opposite side he's not in the PCL, which I'm more familiar with. So I didn't really actually to physically watch him play. But when you're going back and forth between the Reds and AAA, I mean, it was kind of one of those scenarios where the Reds weren't doing great. So was he only bumped up because he was doing well and the Reds suck, or was it a different scenario? So he's kind of a big question mark for me, to be honest. I wouldn't talk somebody out of it. He had him like a back burner type of pickup. But for me, there's a lot of history that kind of makes me question it.
Interesting. So, Joe, you obviously you love him even more. He's going as the 16th shortstop. Well, actually, I have second base pulled up right now. He'll eventually qualify there if he doesn't already in your league. 16th second baseman off the board right now at pick 160.
What's your question?
Do you like? Do you still like him there?
Yeah, of course. I mean, with him, it's. I mean, when you're like, we're going aggregate ADP, he's going way higher everywhere that's not Yahoo. So apparently the Yahoo dudes hate him. He goes 224 in Yahoo. It's only going to go up and up and up now. So, I mean, it'll be hard for him to be a sleeper like I would have liked him to be and get him close to the end of your draft. You're going to have to take him in like whatever the teen rounds or something like that. But I still think he has 40 steal upside, and there's not a whole lot of guys that do that. He's going to be outfield. He's second base and shortstop eligible. I think, you know, I had owned him in our podcast league last year, late in the season. And he was a stolen base machine there for a while. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just a speed play. I mean, that's all it is for me. I don't think he's not going to hit 324. I don't think in a full season. I think there's a little bit of luck there. And I don't like that he doesn't walk. I mean, we've talked about that. He didn't walk at all last year. So, yeah, it limits his upside a little bit with runs and stuff like that. But I just think, as a speed play, I like him, and now I probably would have rather had it that he didn't have a for sure job until drafts, because I think they would have found him a lot of playing time anyway, and he could have stole bases, and now this is going to drive his price up a lot.
Yeah, I guess I'm not so sure, just because I mean, obviously the steals will be nice, and he does make a lot of contacts, so the batting average, I am not too worried that it's going to be atrocious.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to hit 220 or anything, but he hit 324 last year, so you know, you can expect that to go down, but you know, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to drop, you know, like it's not going to drop down to 250 or anything like that.
Yeah, it's just the 21% hard contact rate, so he's sort of a, you know, slap it around and try to get on first kind of guy. He's not going to give you much of any power, and I don't think he's going to be hitting at the top of the lineup, so that limits his runs and RBI as well. So, I mean, if you're talking about him versus, you know, Ben Zobrist, which where he's going around right now, I'd rather have the safety of Zobrist, but, you know, I don't know, that's just me. But anyway, we can get into our very first segment, which is entitled ADP Wars. All right, and what we're going to be doing here, the people out there in podcast land are familiar with it by now. We're going to pit two similarly priced second basemen against each other and basically see when it comes to your turn in the draft which one you're going to pop off the board. So, Jessica, we're going to start with you. We got Brian Dozier coming off the board at average pick 36.3 versus Daniel Murphy hot on his heels at pick 38, according to the Fantasy Pros Consensus AP. So who are you going to take here?
For me, I'm going to go more towards Brian Dozier. And the reason why is because he actually put up like a really solid season, and that goes without saying. Don't get me wrong, I obviously really love Daniel Murphy, but I feel like he's just going to have a little bit more attention on him than Dozier did, because obviously Murphy had that really, really impressive streak that I think a lot of people are going to keep in the back of their minds. The second highest ISO in the league, and he had a career high BABIP, and I just think he really just dominated last season. So if I had to choose between both of them, I think I would go more towards Dozier.
Interesting. Joe, what do you think? The hometown guy? Dozier is the only bobblehead that I have of an actual major league player.
And that's exactly another reason why I would take him over anybody else.
The bobblehead.
Bobblehead thing.
That's the bobblehead theory, let's be honest.
Yeah, when we're not actually all, obviously we're not in person, but a lot of times we do our podcasts in person in Nate's basement, and he does have some bobbleheads down there, and one of them is the Brian. We were actually he was like bemoaning that the Twins hadn't traded Dozier yet, because we are Twins fans, of course, being from North Dakota. We don't have our own sports team, so we take Minnesota's, and I was like, I don't want to trade Dozier. He's our best player. Why would we want to get rid of him? I'm sorry, I just want to watch him hit.
Whoa! What about Joe Mauer and his sweet sideburns? Come on.
It's, yeah, Mauer 1A, Dozier 1B.
Thank you.
Put it that way. Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, creep me out. I don't like them. I always feel like I'm going to be, it's like a Final Destination movie where, like, you're just sitting there minding your own business, and your collection of bobbleheads start moving, and then you slip and fall, and you die.
How many Final Destinations are they up to now?
They're, like, up to, like, Saws. Like the sauce.
I think like one and two, both very solid. I think I gave up after that. Like, was it two with the freeway one where where they're all driving down the highway and then horrible things start happening? That was actually a pretty solid movie.
Yeah. Well, after Devin Sawa died, like, why even continue watching? Oh, that's all I'm saying. What is the point?
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. So, Joe, are you actually going to talk about Brian Dozier or just
It's not really my fault that I didn't. I think it was kind of a group derail there. But
story of my life. Yeah, sorry.
I didn't derail it all by myself. But anyway, but if you are creeped out by bobbleheads, Nate, you can take a picture of your bobblehead of you and tweet that out. That'll haunt your dreams right there. Nate has a bobblehead of himself. So.
Yeah, and for the reference, like, I didn't buy it myself. It was a gift from a wedding. I'm not in the business of buying bobbleheads of my own likeness. But yeah, it is a shocking resemblance.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. So yeah, I'm gonna go Dozier too. I don't, you know, 42 and 18 last year, career season. He was a stud. The 40 homers, that's pretty ridiculous. I don't think that's gonna happen again. But he's a good home run hitter. I think he could. I think he could at least go 30 plus. And he's a pretty. I mean, last year super efficient base dealer, 18 for 20. He's not gonna hit for the average like Murphy, and he's. I mean, But other than that, it's like, other than batting average, I think Dozier kind of has him dominated everywhere. Unless you think Dozier's like batting average is just going to fall off to the point of 2015. But I don't see that. And I just think he has so much more upside in terms of power and stolen bases that I think it's a pretty easy pick for Dozier. But I'm a huge Dozier fan, so.
Interesting. Well, I mean, by the way, not to talk too much about bobbleheads, but I'm pretty excited for the Puppet Master movie. They're remaking it. I don't know if you guys have ever seen those, but they were creepy as hell, at least when I was like 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good stuff. But yeah, I think instead of sweeping it, I'm actually going to go Murphy here. Dozier's 28 second half home runs matched his previous full season career total. And, you know, it's obviously that, you know, nobody's expecting him to hit 42 home runs again, maybe more like 30, like you said, Joe. But I think the batting average might go back down. You know, 268 last year, his career average is 246. And you look at the last couple years, 236, 242, 244. I think that the batting average that you're going to get with Murphy is just so much safer, so much better. I don't obviously think he's going to hit 347 again. But
yeah, I mean, he hit over his head too last year.
He did, yeah. But I think he's an easy 300 hitter. You know, so that obviously, I think that's 50, maybe more points in batting average right there for a full season. And he really, like, he adjusted his swing last year and ended up with a 38.2% hard contact rate, far and away his career high. You know, so he put more balls in the air as well, 42%, to help tap into that home run power. He's surrounded by a great lineup, certainly better than the Twins, I would say. And, you know, obviously a little bit of an injury history there, but nothing that is going to worry me. So I just think the safety of the batting average versus the steals, you know, mm-hmm. is sort of the tiebreaker for me. But, you know, depending on what you kind of go for in your drafts, maybe you would prefer the steals in the batting average. But if it's me, I'm just going with a sort of relatively more safe profile with Murphy.
You tend to – do you always go safe? I feel like you do.
I do. Safety first is my middle name.
Yeah, that is my middle name.
That actually is a running joke on
show. I'm Danielle. That's good. That's cool.
Well, you have a really long name there. Isn't your name Danger Safe or what? How does it go again? What's your full name?
Danger Safety First. Wrap it up, Duncan.
And somehow Nathan isn't even involved in that.
No.
Yeah.
Show off.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And I think at the end you should put Esquire.
That's a good call.
The third.
Perfect. So we're going to move on to our next matchup now. Joe, we're going to start with you on this one. We've got Jason Kipnis, average draft position 87.3, versus DJ LeMahieu, the Frenchman, ADP 92.8, going slightly behind them. So who you got?
I'm a Kipnis guy in general. I've been a fan for years, so I'm not going to change my stance at this point. To me, LeMahieu is just a, like, I understand everyone's obsession with guys in Coors this year, like Arenado's mm-hmm. the third overall guy, you got Blackman's going in the second round, and like even like David Dahl and Trevor Story and all their guys.
The bat boy is like a top five guy, just
exactly
yeah
you got to take it. Do they have a mascot? I don't even know, but if they
did, he's a top two. Yeah.
Exactly. He's going to go pretty soon. But yeah. It's just like to me, DJ LeMahieu is the example of, like, if you just put just a guy in Coors, he would be fantasy relevant. And that's what they've done with DJ LeMahieu. I think he's pretty much just a guy. And yet he hit .348 last year with .416 OBP. So he was great, but, you know, he was 11 homers, 11 steals. You know, I don't know what to expect with him in terms of stolen bases. He went 23 for 26 in 2015, and other than that, in 14 he was 10 for 20, terrible, and then he was 11 for 18 last year. So I don't know that I can count on him for a lot of stolen bases. I trust Kipnis more in that category because he's been super efficient the last couple of years. He was 15 for 18 last year. And I just think Kipnis is a better player, and that Indians offense is great, and it's only getting better. So I like Kipnis a little bit better. LeMahieu is, to me, just a Coors product, whereas I think Kipnis is a lot more talent and it's going to hit a lot more home runs, and, you know, the runs and the batting, he's not going to get there. He's just not going to hit as high as LeMahieu because of Coors, but I think he's going to beat him in a lot of other categories and be close in runs and RBI because that Indians offense is so good.
Yeah. You know, Jessica, you said that that I strike you as a safe type of person. I'm not sure why you made that assumption, but you're completely correct in doing that. And that's why I think I'm going to go LeMahieu here, actually, is because like if you look at what Kivness has done the last couple of years, it's just really up and down. You don't really know what the hell you're going to get from him. 240 back in 2014, 303 in 2015, 275 last year, just splitting the difference. His home runs went 6-9 to 23 last year. Stolen bases went down, 12, 22, and then back up to 15 last year. It's just all over the place, and that drives me nuts. Like, I like to draft a guy and know what I'm going to get from him. Mm-hmm. 24 home runs last year. It was fueled by a 35.7% hard contact rate and a career-high 37% fly ball rate. So that does support 20 home runs, so I don't think that necessarily he'll go back to hitting 6 or 9. But the stolen bases will be okay. But I think just LeMahieu, just such a good lineup there. And obviously Coors, he was the only player in baseball last year with a 90% plus contact rate and a 35% plus hard contact rate as well. That led to a 388 BABIP, obviously, in partially due to Coors. So that's going to come down, but he also is just an easy 300 hitter. I think he could once again, contend for a batting title, score a ton of runs, and I think that, the stolen bases will probably come back up a little bit too. Not a ton of power, but I kind of know what I get, what I'm getting from LeMahieu's skill set, so I'm going to go with him here. But break the tie for us.
You know what? I actually have to go LeMahieu. And the reason why is because if you look at his splits, they're just phenomenal across the board. And whether he's home or away. And that's a huge thing for me, especially a guy whose home field is Coors. If he's going to go out on the road and still hit really well, like, I'm very much into it. And I love Kipnis too, don't get me wrong. But if you kind of look at his numbers, like, historically, I worry that his power could be limited in this time around. For me, when it comes to Kipnis's home field, some people say it's a hitter's park. I think it's more of a neutral park, kind of actually going more towards the hitters, but it's still more of a neutral park to me. That could be argued with anyone, kind of depending on how you're going for it. But yeah, I definitely agree with LeMahieu, and I just feel like, when you're have that whole entire lineup together, it's just phenomenal. And obviously, don't get me wrong, the Kipnis situation is not much different, but it kind of went down to not only the hitter friendly park, but the splits were just phenomenal for DJ across the board.
There you go. And also, he's a DJ, so if you draft him, he'll come DJ your parties at your house. So that's
there
just
you
an
go.
Added bonus. It's just like when you draft Carlos Santana, you get Rob Thomas with him.
And I think DJ LeMahieu plays nothing but the hits.
Nothing but the hits.
I bet you he plays the Now soundtrack.
They're up
My
to
daughter
like,
would love that.
They're up to like 61. 70, 61.
61. I just saw it at Barnes & Noble yesterday. And I remember I have now three. And I'm like, wow, that's when you know you're old.
I think we're sort of in the same age group here. And I do remember when they got to 10 or so, I'm like, man, they really are still making those. And they are still making those at 61, apparently. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw the commercial the other day. Good Lord. I didn't even think people still bought CDs. They advertised the physical CD on a commercial on television. How are they making money off that?
I love CDs. I like CDs.
I still use them too. Sad as it is to say.
My best friend loves to make me mix CDs because we're five.
I used to love making mix, downloading songs.
Gift you can get to give to somebody who you had a crush on. That was the best gift.
Oh, yeah, and then you put the permanent marker on the burnt CD.
Oh, yeah, draw a flower on it to show off how artistic you are. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And bubble letters to that person, bubble letters, yeah.
Well, who uses bubble letters when he writes? It's Ben Zobrist, and he's coming off the board at 170 Segway City right there. God, I'm good. He's going up against Jonathan Scope in this one, and I guess it is up to me to start this one, and I think if the Bucketeers out there in podcast land have learned anything to this point throughout the podcast tenure, it's that I love me some Ben Zobrist, so I'm obviously going to go with him here. But some interesting facts on Scope, that this dude is just a treasure trove of swing data, I guess, plate discipline data. So bear with me while I get this out. His soft contact rate, 25%, third worst in Major League Baseball, behind Jason Hayward and Jose Iglesias. Just 26.6% hard contact. So he had almost as much soft contact as hard. 16.2% swinging strike was third worst in baseball, behind only Chris Davis and Yasmani Tomas. 43% chase rate, swinging on pitches on outside the zone, basically. The fourth worst in baseball. Adam Jones pops up again. Sal Perez was ahead of him, and C-Dick, Corey Davidson. Also walked just 21 times in 162 games. And by the way, a little bit of trivia here. Can you guys guess the other players? There was only two other players that played all 162 games. Can you name the other two?
I saw this the other day, too.
I cannot. I don't even. I wouldn't even want to hazard a guess, but...
Well, it was Springer and Alcides Escobar.
That wasn't, maybe, yeah. I didn't see it because I wasn't going to guess.
Yeah, they were the only other two.
I would have never guessed Springer because he was always like, everyone's giving him shit for being the guy that runs into walls and can't see.
Right. I could have sworn he was like injured because he was always running into things.
Yeah, that is 2 years ago though. But yeah, that was like 2 years ago and he like broke his wrist or his arm or something, yeah, running into a wall, but...
Yeah. So Altuve and Cano were the only ones to play 161. So there's that.
And who all played 160 games, Nate? I'd love to know.
I don't have the list in front of me anymore. I jotted that down before time. But I'm guessing if I looked at it earlier when I just glanced at it, I think it was a lot.
So. Yeah.
Okay.
Probably.
Fair.
I was kidding. I really don't care.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad I didn't answer you then.
Okay.
But anyway, 73% count. It's unreal that basically he just struck out 21% of the time. If you just showed me that sort of play discipline, I would say that guy's not in the major leagues. So he scares the crap out of me. But he did, you know, he went, I think, 88 with runs in RBI. I suppose just because he played 162 games. So that is worth something as a sort of a compiler. But anyway, I've labored on enough. I'm going Zobrist. Jessica, what do you think?
I like Scope, and the reason why I like him is because you're getting a lot of bang for your buck. And I think I like him because he was kind of overshadowed with all those O's bats last year. You know, obviously everybody was so obsessed with Trumbo because he was, you know, dominating home runs in the league and at Camden. Like, he hit 25 bombs at Camden alone. So the only thing that I don't like about it is he does strike out a lot, which is worrisome. But he could also be worth some pretty awesome trade value if he were to go towards that, because I feel like he's going to start off, people are like, yeah, he's good, but like, what's the scenario with these extra things? And then going towards, you know, the season, he could, like I mentioned, be good trade value. His splits are okay. Not too wonderful against lefties, but I think that's just natural. He also doesn't, you know, I think once games start going, we can probably get a little more confident. And so, don't get me wrong, I like Zobrist, but I think that's too safe for me. I like to live on the edge a little bit. So I think I'm going more towards...
Zobrist is a pretty boring dude. I mean, especially now that he's like 37 years old. So,
come on.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was totally bashing on his personality, and I don't do that.
Okay, I wasn't saying he's like not a boring.
I'm just kidding. I'm totally just trying to get you to have a reaction. No, but I think I'm going.
Like, I've never met him. Probably super cool.
I just love making people uncomfortable. It's like literally my favorite thing in the world. So. But no, I think I'm going to go more towards Scope. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I'm going to go to the, you know, that guy.
You got
to
think
of doesn't pronounce his name the way it's spelled. You know, whatever. Fine.
When I see him, I just think of mouthwash. You just got to think of Scope, mouthwash, and just go with Scope. That's the way I always think.
I have an SCH in my name. I feel like I'm like so being rude to my parents. Like, I'm just going to rebel against what you taught me over the last 28 years. Like,
yeah. It shouldn't be Scope. There's absolutely no way that makes sense in terms of, you know, language.
Like the word colonel, like the colonel, like in the army.
Colonel.
Like, how is that? Yeah. How is that? That doesn't even make it. Literally makes no sense. You are full of it. There's no way how that works.
That does not say colonel. That says colonel.
Your name is colonel, and this is the end of the debate. But yeah. I'm gonna go with Scope because I love to stress myself out over his spelling.
Okay. Here's something that I don't know if you guys would even know or care, but I saw this on Twitter and it really pissed me off. How would you pronounce and I don't know how to do it without saying how I would pronounce it, but somebody asked, do you say, like, what is the correct way to say, like, a movie about a person? Is that a biopic or a biopic? And it was a 50-50 vote. How would you guys say that?
See, I just reading it, like, I would say biopic, but I've heard so many people say biopic that
I almost say it like two words, like biopic.
Right. So I think but that's the thing. When you're reading it, I would say biopic because it just sounds like right. It sounds correct. Yeah. But then when you think about it, biopic sounds like that's what it should be because it's a biography.
Yes, that's what I'm – I guess maybe I never thought about it, just how it, I'm saying. But it's like a biography about – like a I don't know. So that's why. I just could not believe it was 50-50. I thought that more people were on the biopic train. But anyway, moving on. This has been quite a few tangents, but that's pretty much par for the course, actually, come to think of it. We do this a lot as far as, you know, not talking about baseball. But on this one, I'll give the split answer just because you got – like I won't break – or no, yeah, I won't break the tie because it is a tie. And I'm just going to say if I'm in a points league, I take Zobrist because he's going to walk so much. Well, that's just the way I feel. Like in a points league, Zobrist dominates him. It's not even close. And as far as if I'm in a roto league, I think I might actually go Scope, even though it's a little bit close. But yeah, to me, it's just league specific and need specific. Scope, and if you're in a points league, it's really not close at all. Like Zobrist walks more than he strikes out. I mean, so you can, it's not even close in terms of when you got league format like that. But in a roto league, I might go with Scope because he's going to hit 25 to 30 home runs, and Zobrist just isn't going to do anything like that. I don't know. And I'm kind of torn. I might actually go Zobrist and Roto too, but I mean, for sure, if you're in a – I just wanted to throw the points league thing out there because I feel like we have been bringing up points enough.
Fair point. All right. You guys like to live dangerously, just like Austin Powers. That's okay. So, okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with some targets.
It's that time again. That's right. It's fantasy baseball season, and the Fantasy Black Book is back and better than ever. This is Joe Pizzapia, author of the 9-time best-selling Fantasy Black Book series, number one right now on Amazon, on iTunes, and for the first time ever, the Fantasy Baseball Black Book can be held in your hand. Yes, what a beautiful world we live in. Head over to Amazon and buy your hard copy as well today. Baseball is coming. Are you ready?
Target acquired.
All right, we are returning now, and we're going to look at some second basemen that we are looking to target in drafts this year, based on, I suppose, just I like to, you know, sort of judge them based on where they're going in drafts more than anything, just because a lot of people get kind of touchy about the word target. You know, like you're giving up value.
I was going to ask what your version of target would be, because I mean, obviously you can't come in all hot and just get like Jose Altuve and Trey Turner or Robinson Cano. Like, that's not how it works. Like, come on,
yeah.
It's not like that's not the fan. That's another type of fantasy. Like, live in reality, people. So I'm just curious.
I think you can say that the super high guys are a target. It's just like if I have like if I'm going to get a top 5 pick or top 4 pick, I'm going to take Altuve, but it's not, I mean, it's not the same thing as a sleeper, I guess, in my book. These picks don't have to be sleeper picks, like, and guys going outside the top 20 or whatever. That's how I view it.
Okay.
Yeah, just sort of.
But you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, any range, really. Like I said, I like to sort of, you know, go off of tiers and sort of where they're going versus where I have them ranked. You know, that because I do all my own rankings, so it's pretty easy just to compare it to the ADP. And then it sort of tells me who I like on the year.
Yeah, like I said, Correa was a target on the last show just because I think he's going on the shortstop show. Or I think it was the shortstop show, right? It's got to be. Anyway, but, you know, I mean, he's going like top 20, but I still am going to target him. Like, I really want to get him because I think he could be like a top 5 player.
I think I'm going to target.
It sounds a little creepy. Like, I'm targeting you.
It's a little bit, yeah.
Maybe don't like tweet at the players saying that. That could probably
with like
get you
the big eyes. I'm targeting you.
That might get you put on some sort of federal list that you don't want to be on.
Probably, yeah. Probably.
So we'll start off with you, Jessica. What kind of guys are you looking at this year at second base?
Okay, so the reason, I mean, this one. I hate targets because, like, well, duh, you know, some of them. But I really love me some Rougned Odor. And the reason why is because a lot of the attention I feel comes to, and it could be because I'm also a reporter, from the reporter side, it feels like there's 8,000 men on the first base position, you know, just like Josh Hamilton got re-signed. And then of course, Napoli is back with the Rangers. So there's all this attention on first base. And then you break out to like, where's Ryan Rua going to play? Where's Joey Gallo going to play? And it's like, well, the one constant that you have is going to be Rougned Odor, because, you know, he's going to play second and there isn't much drama behind that. You know, as a young guy, he's really great, you know, in the ring. And so it's just all kinds of stuff that you can go with that. And you know, his average ADP is actually rather fair. So I like it from that aspect. And he's just, you know, solid across the board. Obviously not like the most powerful hitter in the world. But if you look at his slash lines, like, he's consistent, you know, as far as his splits go. A lot of hits, consistent hits, if you will. His average stayed... Did it rise? I'm sure it did last season. But yeah, he had pretty very solid 271 average, good wOBA, 33 bombs last season. And the thing I loved about the second baseman was it was like, and you know, I'm a DFS girl at heart, like across the board, it was really nice to know that these second basemen that you're not used to getting the crap out of the ball and hitting for power were. So that was always something really nice to watch. So he's probably one of my targeted guys for sure.
Nice. You know, I've long been a sort of a detractor. Well, not that long, obviously. He's only been up for 2 years, but I've not really been enamored with him. But last year won me over. You know, he also stole 14 bases. You know, not for nothing. He was only 14 for 21, so the efficiency wasn't great. But they're still letting him run, and that's, you know, just bonus value. So I do actually have him ranked higher than the consensus ADP right now. So I'm totally on board. Joe, what about you?
Okay. I was waiting for, you know, I had to wait until you said my name to talk, but yeah. Sure. Okay. I got three names written down. One of them is Odor. So, and I was going to throw him out as like a
sweeping it
first. Yeah. I like him. I mean, I'm not saying he's going like criminally low or anything like that. Like, he's going pretty close to where he's going, but he's got a lot of upside. Like, if he just puts up a season like he did last year, he's going to be great value. But it's another one of those where it's different points versus Roto, because he's also a dude that doesn't walk. But yeah, I like him, especially in a Roto league. The other two guys I wrote down are super late. Well, not super late, but they're a lot later. Devin Travis I put as a target. I mean, he still really hasn't ever done it for a full season. I mean, he only had 400 at-bats last year. But I think if he can put up a full season... going as the 19th second baseman off the board around pick 200, I think there's some upside there if he can put it together and finally stay held for the full season. So that would be one of mine. The other guy,
I love Devin Travis, but he's more of a sleeper pick for me.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, are these? That's what I'm saying. Are these targets or sleepers?
Yeah, usually, yeah. I think mentally I had him prepared as a sleeper. So it's kind of nice to know, like, if you're targeting my sleepers. I hate the terms in fantasy sports sometimes, but yeah. That's cool. That's all. That's all I gotta say.
Okay. Very good. Is that all you guys then you got out there, Joe?
Well, I actually had one more now that she kind of scolded me about being this, the next guy probably is for sure more of a sleeper, so maybe I'll save him for the deep league guy.
Fair enough.
And I didn't really have a good deep league guy yet, so I'll save him for our final little guy there.
The guys that I had written down, I still like Zobrist, he's just my dude. Matt Carpenter, the only mock draft that I've done so far, I ended up with him, and I think I actually ended up using him at third base. I figured I'd for sure use him at second, but I ended up, I think I took Cano early, so I ended up putting him at third. But that position, that flexibility is so nice. I'm going to end up with him in a lot of drafts this year. And then, who is my last guy here? Logan Forsythe, Brian Dozier Light, apparently. You know, he's really come around these last couple years. He used to basically just hit lefties, but 337 wOBA against righties last year, 324 back in 2015. So he seems to have figured out righties despite it being pretty late in his career. So I think where he's going, it's a pretty nice source of some decent power, and it sounds like he's probably going to be hitting towards the top of that lineup, so you're probably going to get some pretty good runs scored as well. And he'll probably rise, you know, his ADP rise as we get closer towards the season, you know, after the trade. But right now, pick 241 overall, really, really, really late. So a lot of value to be had there. But let's flip to the negative side and yell at some people and tell them how much we hate them. as we avoid them. So, Jeff, we're going to start with you again.
Okay.
Right. Please insult their personalities.
Once again, for the record, I think Ben Zobrist is probably a really cool dude. He's not boring. I highly doubt he's boring. I bet he's super exciting to hang out with.
Hey, I love him. I've said nothing
but good things. He's probably a swell guy.
Exactly.
Swell guy.
Super cool dude. That's what I think about him.
We've established that he writes in bubble letters.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, one guy that I'm not, I mean, I'm a bust. We'll go with that. Is that one of the names?
Yep.
The terms that we should use? Okay. So it's actually going to be Starling Castro. And he got off to a career okay start, but to me, you know, things were kind of, they just changed. His speed was gone and really bad with stolen bags. He was 18 for 33, some god awful number like that. So that's kind of where I'm at as far in regards to that goes. So he's probably my one of my busts. And we're not bashing on his personality, but
super,
you know,
cool dude though.
Yeah, super great guy.
I don't know. I heard he likes to kick dogs.
Okay, so it's like his line drive rate's not there. He's not hitting the ball. Like his batting average isn't there. So he's, and now that I'm really upset that he's kicking dogs, it just adds to it. I just feel like there's just so much more work that he needs to work on, and he's just kind of a guy that I'm just going to try to avoid as much as possible.
Totally agreed. What about you, Joe?
For the record, we've been saying that whole Ben, or not Ben, geez, Zobrist on the brain, but we've been saying the whole Castro steals are going to go away thing for years. We've hated on his stolen base inefficiency for years because he was getting caught as much as he stole back when he was stealing a lot of bases. But my guy that I hate is actually a guy that last year I kind of said that I wanted to draft, and that's Dustin Pedroia. He's going 14th overall off the board, and he's kind of on an island. Like, he goes, whatever, 50 or 40 picks after LeMahieu. So, I mean, the drafters are telling you that there's a tier right there around the top, 13 guys, and that Pedroia is not in it. But if it got to that point, I would just wait. Pedroia doesn't give me, I don't think offers much upside. He played 154 games last year, and he still only put up 15 home runs and 7 steals. So he's just kind of a boring, bleh guy that I would not be taking at the draft price he's going for.
Mm-hmm.
I'd much rather have Zobrist, for instance.
Yes, absolutely.
Great guy.
Yeah, he's so cool. I love his personality.
Dustin Pedroia, on the other hand, I've heard occasionally forgets to feed his fish. Terrible.
Oh, man, being. You can't do
Watch
that.
Watch your mouth. There is no need for that kind of slander.
I'm That's sorry. Awful. That's just what I heard. You know, just relaying
Although
the information.
Although I will say Pedroia nicknamed himself Laser Show, and that is pretty cool.
Boy, that takes some self-confidence. That's swagger to nickname yourself the Laser Show.
Exactly.
My nickname is Safety First, for God's sake. I mean, that's as lame as it gets.
I thought that was your middle name, but either
that's
way.
Also my nickname. You can give me a nickname.
Okay. I'm not going to give you a nickname, no.
We'll come up with something.
All right. Yeah, we'll work on it tomorrow.
Okay. The two guys that I have listed here, we've already talked about, actually, and so I'm going to ruffle some feathers, I guess, but Dozier and Scope are the two guys that I just cannot get stood in this year at their price points. Well, I mean, you know, Scope, at least with him, he's not going to kill you. It's just with the batting average, just terrifies me there.
He does strike out a lot.
Yeah, just like me in college. But Dozier, it's more like the price tag, just way too high for so much regression. I always say never pay for a career year. And I'm pretty sure that was Dozier's career year that we just saw. It's really a shame that the Twins weren't able to find a market for him in the offseason, because I just know he's going to hit like 220 for the first 4 months of the year. And they're not going to be able to trade him. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let's go into our final actually, let's take a quick break here, and then we'll get into our final segment.
There's gold in them hills.
All right. We are here to round this show out. We're going to look into deep leagues, potential impact prospects, or deep league sleeper, anybody of interest that is going off the board in the late rounds. Jessica, do you have anybody that has been keeping you awake at night because you just are so excited to take them in a deep league?
Well, I mean, I guess I was asked like what your guys' thoughts are on Ryan Schimpf. And I don't really know like where you guys would classify him as. He doesn't walk a lot, so obviously it depends on that format, but you know, he has the power, but he's also very flaky. So I don't really know where you guys classify
him. Love dandruff.
Yes. He does not use Selsun Blue.
No.
He definitely qualifies as a deep league guy. I'll give you that.
He was on my list. So as far as I'm concerned, you nailed it.
So he's always a question mark. I mean, obviously, like I said, from a DFS perspective, there was like a total run of him that people were just obsessed with him. And so that's really difficult for me. So I could go towards the Ryan Schimpf, and then, even Wilmer Flores could be a guy for me as well, as far as somebody that I just don't think that people are going to be too pumped on. They just know him as the guy who cries. He does provide some power, which is really rare when you're talking about that position, not so much after last season with the second base position, but when it comes to him, like he actually does. I worry about his playing time, and that could be a scenario that people are working at. But that's probably something that you could be like a sneaky play. Like people aren't going to be expecting him to have a lot of playing time, but he could surprise you. Really good upside as far as his batting average goes. But between him and Ryan, I think those are two of my deeper guys.
Very nice. Yes. Ryan Schimpf last year, 64.9% fly ball rate, the highest in Major League Baseball history by 10%, minimum of 300 plate appearances. Just like it's
impressive.
It's crazy. He could hit a ton of home runs and also hit 200. But in a deep league, he's just like the ultimate lottery ticket for me. Yeah, obviously not a great lineup out there, but I love it. So Joe, what about you?
Yeah, no, that's great. Like I hadn't thought about Ryan Schimpf at all, and then I looked and I was glancing at it. 20 homers last year. I had no idea, but no, I think that's a great call. I got another Padre as a guy for a deep league for me, and he's actually going to play third base, but he's still got second base eligibility. And Yonhervis Solarte, he hit 15 homers last year in limited playing time. So if he puts up a full season, I think you could get 20 home runs, and he's not going to hit 220 like Schimpf could. So I think he could be a really good late round pick. And the other guy that I was actually going to go with, Nate probably, hopefully, any more prospect type guys. I usually to go for veterans or guys that you're kind of forgotten about. And in the veteran forgotten about camp, I'll say Neil Walker. Neil Walker hit 23 homers last year. I don't know if holy cow, I had no idea. Jeez. And he played nowhere near a full season. So, I mean, Neil Walker still has some upside to be closer to a top 15 second baseman, whereas he's going as like 25th off the board. So a couple guys going late that, older guys that are, people probably don't think of them having much upside, but I think if they can put together full seasons, they could be solid choices.
Nice. I got a handful of guys down here that might prove to not quite be worthless. Cesar Hernandez, 17 stolen bases last year. So if you're just talking about a deep league guy, hit 300 last year. Obviously not an ideal, leadoff guy, I guess, but decent, for a deep league guy, you should get plenty of playing time. And then if you're looking for sort of a Hail Mary, I don't know if he's going to get the job yet, but Raul Mondesi out in Kansas City, he's got a lot of stolen base upside. He had a 30% strikeout rate last year, so that's obviously not very encouraging. But if you're just in a deep league, you're looking for some stolen bases, Mondesi could be a guy. And then also, Dilson Herrera, I think, out in Cincinnati, could be breathing down the neck of Jose Peraza if he doesn't perform
you
out of the gate.
You bite your tongue.
Oh, no, I shall not.
Peraza's got that job on lockdown.
We shall see, Joseph. We shall see. So do not forget about Dilson Herrera. He's still only 22, so it wouldn't surprise me if they just kept him down and sort of rode out the Peraza, even if he sucks. But do not forget about his name. He could see some time in Cincinnati, midseason, if not earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So that is it, though. That's all we got. So, Jessica, thank you so much for taking time again out of your insanely busy schedule for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I had fun.
Right on. Tell everybody where you're working, where they can find you, what you got coming down the pipe this coming week.
Well, my address is – no, I'm just kidding. you can find me on Twitter at KleinschmidtJD. This week I have a lot MSN's posting an article for me. Basically like the eight hyped teams and what they need heading into the season. That was a really a doozy to write, but it was actually still super fun. So basically just like whatever every team needs as far as if it's offense, pitching stuff. A lot of teams need pitching. A lot of bullpen work needs to happen in this season. So it'll be with that. Some stuff with FanRag, some cool interviews that I've been doing, and then FanGraphs this weekend. And a really cool podcast that I'm coming out with FanRag Sports. And you guys are the first people that I'm telling about that. Ooh. So it's exclusive. Pretty much a big deal. Yeah. So it's just doing stuff like that. I'm doing like all kinds of media stuff. So who knows coming into that, but doing a lot of stuff with Fantasy Sports Network as well throughout the season, and getting ready for that. A lot of AAA coverage, a lot of minor league coverage, and there's nothing I'm not doing. So you can find me pretty much anywhere.
Excellent. Well, again, thank you. Next week, folks, we've got Al Melchior, who I believe, Jessica, you are also familiar with.
I do a weekly podcast with him. Yeah.
We will be talking to him for the first time, and we look forward to that very much. So look out for that, along with some other of our in-depth positional previews coming up very soon. Don't forget to get your name in for the podcast league, and you get some free swag. So until next time, may the fantasy gods shine upon you.